Blog Talk Radio.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
RSD Renegade Radio. Where real guys talk real sports. Allow me to introduce the illustrious three-man booth.
I want winners.
What's your name, boy?
Watch the game changer.
What's your name, boy?
D-Well.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
T.O.T. Sports Ph.D.
The world famous.
Ray.
They are who we thought.
Welcome to Real Sports Guys Radio on RealSportsGuys.com. We have a special episode. We had to go with a remix. We had to go with a remix on the intro because this is not Inside the Park on Wednesday night, although the fellas just tore it up. They had an excellent show. And this is not the Tuesday show with Devon, myself, and Marcus. We got a remix going for NBA basketball. And the remix is the Olympic men's basketball team. For the next hour, you got Marcus the Game Changer riding with me on one wing, and our main man, our NBA guy, Justin Page. Let me introduce the fellas, and then we'll run through what we're going to talk about tonight. Marcus, how you doing tonight?
Man, I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great, feeling good. How are you?
I'm doing all right, man. I mean, I know this is your song here, Jay-Z. What more can you say?
Hey, this is I'm bobbing my head, man. How can I be so good for this long? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You know, I appreciate the drop, man. I'm in the zone. I'm ready to go for about 40 tonight, man. You know, I feel good like that. Let's get it going.
Yeah, I wanted to give you something, you know, in the warm-up. When you hear something, when you hear your tunes and you're in the warm-up lines, you got that extra bounce.
Yeah, get you up off the ground a little bit.
That's right. Another wing, we got Justin Page. Justin was on with us a couple of weeks ago when he helped Marcus break down the NBA draft. And we had a lot of great response from our listeners to that show, so we had to set up something else with Justin. How you doing tonight, my man?
Fellas, good evening. I feel great, feel good. I'm loving that you picked the Jay-Z drop to start us off and not Lil Bow Wow. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good, PT.
Hey, I'm just here to make you happy, man. That's my role tonight. I'm Now, for our listeners out there that's used to Marcus running the point, this is like the 90, the 89, 88 Bad Boys, when Dumars would run the point for a little bit, and then we put Isaiah off the ball. So I'm just going to be directing traffic for these gentlemen tonight, and again, we're going to be previewing the USA, Team USA men's basketball, Olympic team, and we're going to talk about how they've been looking so far in their exhibition games, then kind of move into roadblocks in terms of competition and teams that may compete with this team. And then we're going to spend a little bit of time about Kobe Bryant's comments that the 1992 Dream Team wouldn't be the current 2000 team. And I think all three of us have some pretty strong statements and opinions on that one. So
yeah,
let's jump right on in.
Opinions on everything.
That's right. We're going to have 60 minutes of fun tonight. So put your seatbelt in, get your favorite beverage, kick up in a recliner if you're so lucky to have one, and just enjoy. If you're cutting the grass, now not for me. I'm in the St. Louis area. We've had 18 out of the last 21 days been over 100 degrees. I've not cut my grass in 6 weeks, so that won't be me tomorrow. But if you're cutting your grass, listen to the podcast. We appreciate it because you're up for a nice show. So first of all, fellas, let's start off with how the Team USA has been looking so far. Marcus, what are your thoughts in terms of how they've been looking? So far they've played 5 exhibition games, Dominican Republic, Brazil, Great Britain, Argentina, and they just ended up their preseason exhibition season with Spain. How's Team USA been looking so far?
It's been not so much peaks and valleys, but more like peaks and plateaus. You know, I think they have, you know, their floor is a lot of team ceiling. This team has played at a level where they seem good. They seem like a very good Olympic squad at times. And then there are times where they seem like they are just clicking. And when they get in the open floor, it's a sight to behold. They make magic out there when they're in the open floor. The key for them is controlling tempo. And I think that's why you see them go up and down so much, is that they're still trying to figure out each other a little bit. They're still trying to develop that chemistry. And then I think they're also still trying to figure out how to maintain their pace with different rotations of guys coming in. They play well at a very high pace. And when they play at that high pace, they're humming. But that's a really high place to come off the bench and jump right into. And so when they sub, one thing that I've noticed is that it takes a moment for that intensity to get back up because it is so high. And it all starts with the defense. I think with this particular team, their defense really, really makes them special. They can extend the floor. They don't really have a choice but to play small with this particular group of guys. So they see them playing small often, but that allows them to really get up into people. I think that's going to help them a lot in this particular tournament. And I think what's going to really determine how well they do is how well they control pace. If, you know, even against bigger teams like Spain, Argentina, Brazil, that caused them some problems, that gave them in particular Argentina and Brazil, it gave them a little bit of a challenge. The key is going to be for those teams that are bigger, you know, as a young pup coming up playing basketball, one thing I was always taught is everybody's the same size when you're 45 feet away from the basket. So you make the court, you make bigs have to play away from the rim. The further they get away, the further you pull a big away from the rim, the smaller they get. So really extending that pressure is going to help this team out a lot. But I think this team is a very, very good dream team. They have a ton of quality players, multifaceted players, versatile players, players who can do a lot of things. Their one weakness is size, but I think, you know, if they can turn that into a strength if they play that pressure defense and they play at a tempo that is suited for their athletic talent.
You listen to the Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. Justin, so far we've seen 5 preseason games. I keep calling them preseason, but they're friendlies or exhibitions. And we, you know, we saw three blowouts, Dominican Republic, Great Britain, and Spain. Those were blowouts. But we saw a really competitive, tightly matched games against Brazil and Argentina. What have been your thoughts of the Team USA so far, the exhibition season?
Well, I want to echo everything that the Game Changer said. You know, they're definitely a dominant team. Overall, I give them a 7. 7 out of 10 at best, maybe even 6.5. I didn't care for their effort for the entire 40 minutes against Argentina. I think Argentina actually out-scrapped them. I think Argentina wanted it more. You know, I love the competition. I love that it was a 6-point win. It shows that boys know how to win close games, but it should have never been that close. Brazil neither. 11 points, what is that? These fellas need to step it up, play intense for 40 minutes. I love the effort against Spain. It was probably their most impressive of the five games. You know, the guys after four games, they got some continuity. You know, they really pressured the basketball. I think Marc Gasol's comments about that team kind of fueled the fire a little bit. And, you know, there's definitely room for improvement. But I think the boys can bring home the gold. 7 out of 10 so far. Now that they've got some continuity, now that we're going to see real games starting July 29th, I think Coach K will wheel these boys together and get them playing solid 100%, 10 out of 10 basketball.
I know you and I, we were communicating back and forth during this Argentina game. What were your thoughts against this close game, especially considering how fast USA came off the blocks?
Well, I love the shooting in the first 5 minutes of the game. I mean, Kobe was on fire. Kevin Durant was on fire. And when them boys are hitting on all cylinders like that, they're going to be tough to beat. Argentina's scrappy, though, man. I mean, you got Scola out there making these boys rethink their position down low. I mean, I thought Kevin Love was going to come off the bench and kick him in the face again, the way he was treating Kevin Durant out there on the floor. And, you know, don't sleep on Carlos Delfino.
Kobe did not want anything of Scola. When Scola had him in the post, Kobe was just kind of ole with it.
Scola makes a living off that, man. He did the same thing with the Houston Rockets. Curious to see what he's going to do in Phoenix next year. But Argentina's a scrappy ball club. They're not number 3 in the world for no reason. You know, they're ranked 3rd in FIBA basketball rankings. So don't sleep on them, boys. But USA should have beat them by double figures. I expect them to when they play after pool play is over with in these Olympic Games in London.
Justin, Marcus brought up a good point in terms of, you know, obviously a lot of people have been talking about the lack of size that the U.S. has, and especially depth at the big positions. Did you see that really hurt them against Brazil and Argentina?
Absolutely not. If you look at the rebounding numbers, they're getting 50% of the rebounds on average, which is all you can ask for when your players are literally playing with no center. You know, Tyson Chandler probably gets no more than 12 minutes a game. I don't think the lack of size hurts them. I think it helps them. I think it makes them play faster. Game Changer brought up, you know, when they get out and run, when they use their defense to create offense, I think that only helps them. If they had a big out there, like they do when Chandler's out there, that's why they start off so slow, because they can't run with Chandler out there like they want to. Notice, when Russell Westbrook and them boys get in, and they leave Durant and Kevin Durant and LeBron on the court together, and Durant's playing the 5 and LeBron at the 4, that's when Team USA's at their best. And, you know, you can call lack of size. KD 6'10", 6'11". LeBron's 6'8", and stocky as can be. I mean, that's size to me.
Right.
It's not Andrew Bynum. It's not Dwight Howard, but it's size.
If I'm Coach K, this has got to be a coach's dream. You're sitting here trying to figure out, do I close games with Deron Williams or CP3? You know, do I play Carmelo Anthony or Kevin Durant with Kobe and LeBron? I mean, this has to be a coach's dream. But yet, a lot of people have been very critical and have spent a lot of time analyzing Coach K's use of his rotation, and we're starting to see that he's really starting to melt it down in terms of using 8 to 10 guys. Marcus, what has been your thoughts in terms of how Coach K has worked the rotation so far?
Yeah, it's a tough situation to be in as a coach. Sometimes, you know, you'd rather have some pieces that you know when exactly to use them. Right now, he has a – I mean, it's like, do I use an AK-47 or do I use an M16? You know, both are effective. Both are great weapons. But which one should I pull out at this particular moment? It's a tough decision. It's a very difficult decision because you have to – there are a lot of duplicate parts on this team. And what I mean by duplicate parts, there are a lot of guys who are really versatile.
Right.
And it would be easier if guys were more one-dimensional for Coach K to find the right mix of guys. But it's very difficult when you have guys who can all do so much to find the right mix. And if I were him, the thing that I would focus on the most, and it seems like I think he's beginning to figure that out, are which lineups give me a jolt. And what I mean by that is my analysis of the team before is that they have peaks and plateaus where they don't have valleys. They don't get that low. They're not going to get that low. But they have plateaus where they take a step down. And what I think what Coach K is trying to figure out is, who's going to be that spark that when I put them in, I get that intensity back up? And that's what he needs. Because I think there are going to be times where these guys are going to get a bit complacent. You talked about that a bit, Justin. We talked about in the game against Argentina how their effort kind of waned at times. That's going to be Coach K's biggest challenge, is finding those guys who are going to kick that back up when he needs it to, so that they continue to play at a high level. Now, again, they're still beating people on an average margin of 29 points a game or somewhere in that neighborhood. So they're not having a ton of close games, but they've had a few. They've had some really big blowouts, and then they've had a couple of games that were closer than we're used to the Dream Team having games, than we're used to them playing. I like the lineup of CP3 out there with Kobe, LeBron, Durant, and then with one of the bigs, whether that's Love, whether that's Chandler. I like that combination because you have so much scoring. Because even though CP3 doesn't score normally, the cat can shoot. I mean, he's a career 50% shooter. And then I think with that, it also allows him to bring Carmelo in for Kobe. Because if you can bring Carmelo in for Kobe, while you lose a bit on defense, Carmelo's still a decent defender in this particular framework. Because everybody else is putting so much pressure on the ball, it makes his job easier as far as just being able to play a passing lane here or there. But you keep that score, that guy who has that scores mentality in the lineup. You know, you can bring him in for Kobe or Durant, and you don't lose much offensively. And then having LeBron in that role. And then you can bring Iguodala in for LeBron, who can give you a similar type of feel. He's not as big as LeBron, but he's that guy who can be that kind of point forward facilitator. Iggy is actually earning a lot of time with this team. He's getting decent minutes. His minutes aren't terrible. They're more than I thought he would get. And he seems to be endearing himself to Coach K a little bit as a guy that he can count on to come in and not really worry about his shot.
Yeah, Iguodala, he, you know, coming in slapping the ground like Wojo, you know, like, I'm ready to play defense, I'm ready to get after it. You listen to Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. We're having a special episode to preview the men's Olympic basketball team, Team USA, and their potential folks that are going to be coming after them for that gold medal. Now, Marcus, I'm going to come right back to you in the post. So far, Coach K has been starting CP3, LeBron, Kobe, Carmelo, and Tyson Chandler. But really, in the crunch minutes, we're starting to see the rotation include four of those five starters, with Durant coming in for Chandler, and they're kind of going small. If you're Coach K, is this the starting lineup and also your key lineup that you're going to go with through thick and thin, or what adjustments would you make?
I think he has to go with this lineup, with that particular lineup when he's going down the stretch. I don't think he has much choice just because Chandler is very limited down the stretch offensively. You know, you got to realize late in the game, when they get in the fourth quarter of a game, the team has a pretty good idea of the stuff that they're running. It has made their defensive adjustments. And if you have a guy out there who they don't necessarily have to account for after when that particular player is a certain distance away from the rim, that's going to allow them to do some things defensively as far as clogging the paint, being able to help a little bit more. It's going to free up a guy to kind of roam a bit. And that's not something you want when you're trying to get buckets. And buckets are hard to get in the fourth quarter, in the latter minutes of any kind of a game, NBA or international play. And so I think you're going to see that lineup more often where you got, you know, four scorers and a facilitator on the court kind of running the show and feeding everybody. Because the centers, they don't have a center who's or big in general. Kevin Love really hasn't woken up or really found his rhythm yet with this particular team or his role. You'd like to see him be in that spot in that lineup because he would give them some weight to throw around on the block. He's a very good rebounder. So you'd like to see him be able to step up and contribute in that kind of a lineup because he can still score. But he just hasn't found his rhythm yet. That's the one piece that if I'm Coach K, I got to figure out how to get him going and get him going and get him off a little bit, because I think that adds another piece that they're missing right now as far as that big, because that's a small lineup if you got Durant, LeBron, Carmelo, and Toby. It's a small lineup as far as their ability to defend the post. You know, LeBron has been vocal about how that's a bit taxing even for somebody who as physically gifted as he is. You know, he talked about, you know, when he had to play power forward when Bosh was out, how physically taxing that is. And we know Durant ain't built to bang. You know, that's just not his game. So finding a guy who can absorb some of that and can give you something on the defensive end, if need be, you know. Because, again, in the late stages of the game, teams will felt you out, kind of figured out what you're running, what you're doing against their system, and what you're running on your end, and they will have adjusted.
So you listen to Real Sports Guys, realsportsguys.com, pre-Olympic NBA or men's basketball preview. So I'm about to take the governor off, like Jada Kitt said about 15 years ago. And, you know, I'm going to take the governor off, and I'm going to swing it to Justin. Now, Justin, we were texting, going back and forth. I raised the point that, in some ways, I like to line up with D-Will, CP3, in the backcourt opposed to Kobe, because it seems like Kobe's shot selection is more like he thinks he's still in L.A. and he has to take contested shots, where in this situation he doesn't need to. At least that was my position. You had a different position. Why don't you share with the listeners what your position was on that?
First of all, who are we to question Kobe Bryant anything he does on the basketball court? Five championships, a gold medal. I mean, he's done it all. That's like questioning MJ to some degree and his shot selection. I agree that he may take more contested shots, but that's just Kobe's game. Kobe hasn't had that same bounce like he had 10 years ago. He, you know, his shot, you know, is how he gets buckets. And I think that in the game you're talking about, he was so hot. Why not keep shooting the ball, contested or not? I agree that he doesn't have to, but it's still Kobe, and I think it's Kobe's team. And I think he wants to show people that it's his team, and he'll shoot whenever he damn well please. That's just my thought, and I'm one of his biggest fans. And I love him shooting. I love him being aggressive. But what I really love about him is the defense that he's been playing. You notice he started off on Ginobili. He gets every team's best guy. And I think he's earning those shots that he's taken because of his effort on the defensive end. And, again, who are we to question? The Black Mamba.
So, Justin, you got 5 minutes left in the game. U.S. is up by 3 points. What lineup you putting out there?
I'm putting out there any one of my point guards. I don't care which one. Russell Westbrook, Deron Williams, CP3. Either one of those guys will do because they're just filling in and getting my shooters the ball. I got to have Kobe out there. I got to have Durant out there. I got to have Melo out there. I got to have LBJ out there. That's my lineup right there.
So you're going small. You're going small in crunch time, period.
If it were up to me, PT, Tyson Chandler would be cut. He'd be Anthony Davis on the team. He wouldn't even see the court. Would never see the court.
Really?
Never see the court. I'm going any point guard. And to be honest with you, I may take Russell Westbrook just because I like his motor. I like his energy out there. If you notice, every time he comes in the game, that's when Team USA starts running. He's leading the team in steals. He's fast. He's exciting. He'll dunk on somebody. Matter of fact, book it. Russell Westbrook, Kobe Bryant, Carmelo Anthony, KD, and LeBron James.
See, my problem with that lineup is I'm not sure if Kobe and Westbrook understand that LeBron should have the ball directing traffic. Because if you got Westbrook and Kobe holding the ball, in a lot of ways, that makes Durant so less effective. Durant's game is built for this. I mean, you saw that game. He started out 5-for-5, won the first exhibitions. You got to catch that ball like that kid at half court because he will make that international three in a heartbeat. But at the same time, he's playing off the ball more and catching and shooting a lot more than he typically does in the NBA. So one of my struggles with the point guard position is I think Deron Williams and CP3 do a stronger job than Westbrook of getting other players involved. What are your thoughts, Marcus?
Yeah, I think when you play with LeBron, and this is one of the conundrums. This is one of the this is the enigma that LeBron is. You know, the kid's so talented, and he can do so many things as far as his ability to facilitate other guys that. Most of the guys who are studs in the NBA are guys who are just flat-out scorers. Now, LeBron can score because LeBron doesn't have a matchup on the planet at this particular time. So he can score whenever he wants. But his game is more predicated. His most special ability is his ability to orchestrate, his ability to set folks up. And I think other guys who are scorers don't really get that about him for a minute. They're like, let this dude do his thing, and he's going to make my life easier. And some guys don't have that in themselves. And the piece I always come back to with guys, especially guys like Kobe, Westbrook, cats like that, is we have to remember that these dudes have been playing with the ball in their hands since they were probably like 10 years old. They've always had the ball. And so that's how they know how to be. That's how they learn how to be effective. Is that aggressiveness, that putting that constant pressure on the defense. So it takes a moment for them to switch it up. I would rather have, you know, I understand why you would want to have Deron Williams on the court. I would actually go with CP in that particular situation. And the reason I would go with CP is because he's more of a demanding personality, and he can check. I think he has that leverage with those guys to be able to check them and be like, look, you know, this is where we need to be because he has that reputation. You know, he's one of those guys that Kobe named as being cut from the same cloth as him, as far as the competitive drive. So Kobe had that respect from Kobe. You know, he's cool with LeBron. He's cool with Durant. So I think as far as being a straight up floor general, which is what you need when you got a lineup with that much scoring talent, well, you need a cat that's going. That's going to delegate, is going to ration out the touches. And I think CP3 is a little bit more, just a hair. I think Ron is more capable of going off as far as putting the ball in the bucket. I think he's more a threat to score. But in that particular situation, I think you need one guy to take a step back and say, let me get y'all where y'all need to be. Y'all shut up. I got this. I'm going to tell y'all where y'all need to go. Y'all going to get fed. Just just pipe down for a moment and let me run the show. And I think that's what CP3 thinks of the tape. So that's why I prefer him in that particular situation. With that particular
and Justin, you prefer Westbrook. Why so?
Now, mind you, I started off by saying I'll take any three of those guys at the point.
Right.
I prefer Russell Westbrook because of his defensive intensity. I think he pressures the ball much better than Chris Paul and Deron Williams.
Yeah, I agree on that.
And to be honest, if I got Russell Westbrook, Kobe, KD, Melo, and LeBron, I don't care who has the ball. All five of those guys, I'm comfortable with them dominating the basketball. I don't care what they're doing out there. I know that they're all going to give me points. If I look down at the points per game, those five guys lead the team in scoring, 1 through 5. So you're getting your best offensive punch. You're getting who I think is you know, second to only Kobe Bryant and maybe Tyson Chandler as the top defender on the team. If you look at what Russell Westbrook is doing out there when he comes into the game, you know, I watch him play defense and I'm in awe. And I like his motor. Like I said, he gets up and down. He gets up and down fast. He's high-flying. And I think he brings you a little bit more energy than Chris Paul and Deron Williams. You know, they're a little bit older. They got the old man game a little bit. Russie's still trying to prove himself. He's out there going hard every play. And that's what I want from my point guard in the last 5 minutes of the game.
All right, let's pay some bills. We'll be back in 45 seconds.
Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue? Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the real sports guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
Shout out to Larry Randall of Resistance Digital. Hope you're doing well, my man out there. Holler at him, resistancedigital.com. As the Game Changer says, for all your electronic needs. Now, just to kind of pump up the volume a little bit, I got a clip for y'all.
I cannot play with him. Cannot win with him. Cannot coach with him. Can't do it. I want winners.
Now, it really didn't fit in. You know, that's football. We talking hoops, but I'll always take Mike Singletary talking about he wants winners. So, just a little something to liven up the mood. So, fellas, moving along here, let's talk about anticipated roadblocks for this Team USA team. They're starting off in pool play, and they're in pool A, and also in that pool is Tanzania. My bad, I shouldn't even mention them.
No.
France.
Nah, you feel that, Tanzania.
France is featuring Tony Parker, Boris Diaw, and Nick Batum. Unfortunately for them, Noah's hurt. Argentina, we saw them play earlier this week or this past week. They look really good. Ginobili, Scola, Delfino, and Oceani. And then you got Lithuania, who always seems to play the USA tough. I think back to 2004 when they actually beat us in the Olympics in a game. And then we've got Nigeria. I'm just going to keep it moving with that team. So, Justin, I'm going to start out with you, man. Talk about pool play if you see any team that can make some noise against the USA.
Well, if we're going just strictly pool play, you said it best. You can't go wrong with Lithuania. They play USA as tough as any team I've seen over the last decade or so, since the original Dream Team, I'd say. Lithuania is definitely going to be a tough matchup on August 4th. And, you know, quite frankly, I think France is going to surprise some people. You know, I think they get a raw deal given that they're 12th in FIBA world rankings, which I think is way too low for them. I mean, they have more NBA guys on their roster than any team not named Spain or Argentina. You got Tony Parker. You got Boris Diaw. You know, like you said, Noah's hurt. They got Ronnie Turioff. They got Batum from Portland. Like, them boys can play some ball. And I think that, you know, unlike Team USA, they've got the team continuity. And, you know, they may not be as athletic, but they have better overall fundamentals. And I think that's what you're going to see from France in our first test. And I think it's going to be a lot closer than people think.
So, Justin, once we get outside of the pool play, talk about the medal round. What teams do you think outside of the pool that could really make some noise against the U.S.?
Well, we saw it yesterday. Spain is definitely our biggest competition. If you watch the gold medal game from 2008, I'd argue it's the best Olympic game I've seen. You got the two big fellas, Powell and Marc Gasol, who can dominate USA down low. You could also bring in Ibaka. Play those three guys. What's USA going to do down low? So I think, you know, they lucked up, and they won't see Spain until the possible gold medal game, because I think they're both going to run the table to get there. But Spain, do not sleep on those boys. Mind you, we beat the pants off them yesterday. However, they were playing without Marc Gasol, who's arguably their most valuable player. They didn't want to show the sets that they're going to run when the games actually count. I think that 22-point victory, I think that margin is going to be much, much, much closer than that if we even win. I'm not one of these guys that, oh, USA, rah, rah, rah. I would be very critical and very objective, and Spain could beat them boys. I'm not putting my money on it, but Spain could put their problems in the gold medal game.
Classic, classic, classic RSG line by Justin Page, who's joined us tonight for Team USA Olympic Preview. You listen to Real Sports Guys at realsportsguys.com. Now, for the listeners out there that this may be your first time listening to us and you just wanted to get a preview show of Olympic basketball and you went on the internet, the World Wide Web, as my dad calls it, and you found us, we want to invite you to stop by our website at realsportsguys.com. In the last month on our show, we've had NFL Hall of Famer Alan Page, who's currently a Supreme Court Justice in Minnesota. We had Doug Fisher on a week and a half ago, who's the editor of Ring TV and the associate editor of Ring Magazine. So we're doing big things here at Real Sports Guys. You can always catch us on our website at realsportsguys.com or in iTunes by searching Real Sports Guys with no spaces. Now, Marcus, I'm going to come back to you, man, and talk about anticipated roadblocks for this team. But I'm going to go a little backwards. We're going to remix it. Will this team go undefeated, Team USA?
Yes, I think this team will go undefeated. I think this team will be tested, but they're going undefeated, man. I really can't, you know, I can't see a team with the conglomeration of talent that they have. And these are all guys with high basketball IQs. You know, in the past, when Team USA has faltered, they have had some guys with questionable basketball IQs on the team. This is a core group of guys who, to me, all seem to be very much high basketball IQ kind of cats. They know the game. They know how to play the game. They'll have some close games. There are going to be some closely contested games, but I really don't see them losing a game in this particular tournament. Would I be surprised if they lost the game? No. But I don't think they'll lose any games. I think they're going to have some close games, some games that are going to come down to the wire. But I think their ability to get buckets down the stretch, they just got too many bucket getters. This is a team that's not going to be stressed. They can put the ball in five or six different guys' hands at the end of the game to get baskets, maybe more than that. If you throw in a guy like a Westbrook, you know, that can go out and just get you a bucket when you need one. Plus their defensive intensity and their ability to really play at a pace that no one else, none of these other teams can really match the pace that they can play at when they apply that defensive pressure, I don't see them losing a game. They could lose a game. I wouldn't be surprised if they lost a game because they do have a disadvantage on the inside, which, again, if they can't control the tempo against a Spain or a Brazil or an Argentina, then I think they may run into a little bit of trouble. It may be a close game. The game may be closer than it should be. But otherwise, man, I don't see this team losing. I really don't. Not unless some and international refs are shite, man. International refs are shite. All right, so you know, I could see foul trouble. Maybe the refs playing a role, but other than that, man, barring injury to one of those, barring injury to a Durant, a LeBron, or a Kobe, I really don't see this team being going with a loss. I really can't. I can't bet against these guys in that way.
So, Mark, did you like the U.S. to win the gold? So when the Star Spangled Banner is playing, who do you like on the silver and bronze podiums?
For silver, I anticipate another U.S.-Spain gold medal game. And then after that, you know, I'm going to go with Argentina, but a bit of me wants to go with Brazil. Brazil has a very, very rugged front line.
Yeah.
And they have some decent players in their backcourt. They got Barbosa in the backcourt who can go off at any moment. You know, but I have a tough time going against my boy Ginobili as far as, you know, I think those two teams are fairly evenly matched. And I think Gino got one more in him. So I'm going to go Argentina bronze, Spain silver.
You heard it from the game changer. Argentina, Spain, filling in the silver and the bronze. Now, a game changer, go on and take a seat. Get hydrated, get some Gatorade, because I'm going to be dumping it back and forth to Justin in the post here. Now Justin, before we go with your predictions, I want to talk to you a little bit here about Brazil. And I know you probably watched every possession of the exhibition season. Now, we saw a point guard of Brazil really take over the game at a couple of points, and he found ways to get the ball to the big guys, Nene, Varejão, and I forget the other big guy they have in Brazil. It was a splitter, maybe.
Thiago Splitter.
How do you see the USA matching up with Brazil?
It was a scrappy game. It was as scrappy as an exhibition game as you're gonna find. However, I think that we played them so early. I don't know that we had our continuity. I've said that several times. I expect us to beat them by 20 points. I mean, Thiago Splitter is good and all, but come on, Thiago Splitter. You know, Barbosa, he's a bad boy. But you know, I don't think either one of their guys. Their point guard is solid. You know, Nene's good. He's not gonna make any All-Star games. Varejão arguably got robbed from an All-Star game this year, but none of their starters would even make our team. I don't see us losing to Brazil, and I don't see them coming within 20 of us. Now, I like the team for international play. I love their team for international play. They've been together. That group's been together for a while now. They've been consistent in international play. But it's going to be tough for Brazil to match up with Spain, Argentina, or the USA. So I agree with Game Changer. You know, he kind of went chalk there, but, you know, top three teams in world play. But it makes sense. My sleeper team is France. Kind of talked about them earlier. I like what Tony Parker has the ability to do. I think he can match Chris Paul or Russell Westbrook because he does it, and he's been doing it in the NBA for years. He's a proven winner. You know, they're really going to miss Joakim Noah, but I like what France has the ability to do. And I really think that they're going to test the USA in our first game. So that's my sleeper team, and that's who I see as
I want winners.
The problem with.
I want winners.
So, Justin, let me ask you. Do you see the USA team losing at all during this tournament?
If they do, it'll be to Spain in the gold medal game. You know, I'm kind of on the fence about this one because the talent level that United States of America had, they shouldn't lose a game. But we all know, like my man Game Changer said, these refs can get funny. You know, do you see how many travel calls they called on us yesterday? Every time we catch the ball, it's two steps into travel. We had double-digit travel calls just yesterday alone.
The thing I don't get is you see these coaches arguing to these referees, and 9 times out of 10, they don't speak the same language. You know, and that's got to be so frustrating. You're taking your case passionately, hoping it's going to help you down the road in the next quarter, and these cats can't even understand what you're saying.
No clue.
Kobe's the only one on the floor that can communicate with the refs.
So Justin, let me ask you, if Team USA falters, what do you think their downfall will be? Why do you think that they won't be successful? And why shouldn't I ask you why do you think they won't be successful? But if they are not successful, why do you think it'll be?
And I know I'm kind of contradicting what I said earlier, but it'll be size. Because, like I said, if they lose a game, it'll be to Spain. Spain has the ability to have 3 7-footers who can guard the rim, who can pull you out and shoot the 10 to 18-foot jump shot in Pau Gasol and Marc Gasol. They got the defender in Ibaka, and if they go big on us and their guards can control the tempo a little bit, not turn the ball over and not let USA run, did you see Ibaka in the first half? I mean, he was giving USA fits. Just think if Marc Gasol was in the game as well. So I think it will be size, lack thereof for the USA, and like I said, Spain's the biggest team in international play. And if Team USA loses, it will be to Spain. It will be because their bigs outplayed ours.
So,
just my thought.
For me, I think if the USA struggles, it's going to be because they're dependent too much on jump shots, and they're not forcing the action. It's almost like watching the Miami Heat at times in the playoffs when LeBron and D-Wade are kind of bailing out the defense to shoot jump shots. And the defense is designed, you know, we talked about the Miami Heat situation, the defense is designed to make those guys shoot jump shots. And you best believe every coach in international play, it's going to be a great defensive possession if LeBron and these other guys are shooting jump shots. They don't care if they go in, that's the only way they're going to beat them is they force them to shoot jump shots. So before we move on, let's talk about the 1992 Dream Team. Kobe Bryant came out a couple of weeks ago, and he was asked, and he answered. And Kobe said, you know what, I think if we played the 92 Dream Team, we could win. And that was the talk of sports talk for a good week. Marcus, I'm going to start with you. The 1992 Dream Team versus the current in USA Olympic team. Who's better?
I have to go with 1992. The reason being, the argument that people use that today's Dream Team would be better, athleticism, age, these guys are younger. Let me just give you some information for a moment. All right, you had Jordan at 28, Karl Malone at 28. Chris Mullin at 28, Clyde Drexler at 29, Patrick Ewing at 29, David Robinson at 26, Charles Barkley at 28, Scottie Pippen at 26, John Stockton at 29, Bird at 35, Magic at 32. All right, none of those cats are old other than Magic and Bird. Everybody else is in their prime and well into their prime. So these cats is at their most powerful, okay? These guys are at their most powerful. And again, this was a different time when guys were in college for 2 or 3 years. So most of these guys don't have the mileage that LeBron, Carmelo, Durant, these guys have on their legs because they've been in the league for 4 or 5 years. So, I mean, they've been in the league for 8-9 years. These guys, most of these guys in 92 have been in the league for 6-7 years at max, other than Bird and Magic. Most of these guys were coming out of their 6 or 7 seasons in the league. So they didn't have the mileage on their legs. So that's one myth I like to debunk. The other myth is athleticism and the fact that this team is more athletic. Again, yes, today's players, I think, on average, are more athletic. But when you're talking about Jordan, Karl Malone, Clyde Drexler, David Robinson, Charles Barkley, Scottie Pippen, you're talking about some of the best athletes of any era. I don't think any of those guys would have any trouble translating their games into today's era. I don't think they would have a problem at all. And when you talk about, you know, the athleticism of the other players, if Kevin Love can be an NBA All-Star, Chris Mullin can be an NBA All-Star. If Steve Nash can be a two-time MVP in 2000 and whatever, John Stockton can function in today's NBA. So that idea that these guys were somehow lesser athletes, I would disagree with. So that, to me, that just says that there are no unathletic players that are successful in the NBA, and I would disagree. I think Paul Pierce has made a living off being unathletic. He's deceptively athletic, but he's not on the level of LeBron or Russell Westbrook, but he gets the job done. And I think that's what you would have with these guys, a bunch of guys who get the job done. Now, the other piece, the other reason, people forget how good these dudes were, all right? Again, let me give you some more information, all right? The weak links of this team, okay? The people that people point out as the weak links of the 92 Dream Team. When you talk about Chris Mullin, again, he was 28 years old. Chris Mullin was coming off a season where this dude averaged 25 points a game, 5 rebounds, and 3.5 assists. Those numbers today will make him one of the top 10 players in the league. Those are D-Wade-like numbers. As far as the actual numbers he put up, you go back to another so-called weak link, Clyde Drexler. This cat was coming off a season where he would average 25 points, 6 rebounds, and 6 assists a game. We forget how good these guys were, you know, over time. John Stockton, another perceived weak link, 15 points a game, 13.7 assists. Let me say that again. This brother almost averaged 14 assists a game. All right? And he's a weak link. You know what I'm saying? And so, and then Larry Bird, old Larry, at age 35, Larry Bird was coming off of a 29-7 season. Okay? 20 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists a game. At 35, with a bad back. Magic, his last season he played, and again, Magic was only 32, so it wasn't like Magic was super long in the tooth either. But Magic, his last season he played, 18-6-12. Again, that is the greatest team assembled ever. I point blank, period, end of story. They would win, and that's not mentioning that there isn't a center in the league today who can handle David Robinson or Patrick Ewing, let alone guard Karl Malone. Period. I'm done. I'm dropping the mic. Central chocolate.
That's right. Now, Justin, I'm just going to shovel pass to you and get out the way.
Wow. I took all that in, and let me start with a brief story. When the Dream Team special came on NBA TV maybe a month or so ago, my little cousin, he's 10 years younger than me, he was born in 1990, and he sends out a tweet message for all of America to see, all the world to see. And he says, put together a list of the best players in the league right now, and they'll beat the Dream Team. And I scolded him like it was nobody's business, okay? I talked to this young man as if he didn't even know the game of basketball at all, okay? So a month ago, I was singing the same sentiments that the Game Changer just rattled off for a good 7 minutes. Since then, I must digress, okay? I've been doing a lot of soul searching, a lot of thinking about this. And, you know, I broke it down like this. If you look at the backcourt of Team USA this year in the 92 Dream Team, I got to have Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan. That's non-debatable.
Gotta have it.
Gotta have it, okay? Then I go to the forwards. You got Charles Barkley, Hall of Famer, Karl Malone, other than Tim Duncan, arguably the best power forward I've seen play. You got Chris Mullin and Scottie Pippen. Now, I think it's no secret. Everybody knows how I feel about Scottie Pippen. I think he was overrated. I think Mike made him, and I don't think he should have been the NBA's top 50 players.
Whoa,
but
I got to
go. We're not
going
to go there, because that's not what this show was about.
Oh,
he said
that's not what this show was about. I'm going to stick to the topic. If you give me LeBron James, Kevin Durant, and Carmelo Anthony, and I'll just throw in Iguodala, who probably wouldn't even make the dream team. I'll give you that. But I'll take those three forwards off any of those forwards on the dream team. Love Karl Malone, love Charles Barkley, tough guys. But the versatility, the length, the size, the quickness, the shooting ability of Durant, Melo, and LeBron, I want those forwards all day. And I think that those forwards would impact the game in a way that the Dream Team's forwards could not. Okay? And then you get to the centers. Obviously, the Dream Team has that beat hands down, Patrick Ewing, Dave Robson. However, you take out Tyson Chandler and Kevin Love and Anthony Davis, and you give me Dwight Howard and Andrew Bynum and possibly Roy Hibbert. I'm putting this team up there with the Dream Team. He's the third best forward in the NBA.
I'm sorry.
Is he not behind Bynum and Dwight?
Credibility. Well, I mean, when you include Roy Hibbert,
who's better other than Dwight and Bynum? Who's the third best forward, American center in the league?
Right, and if Dwight or Bynum were playing in the mid-90s, neither one of them would have made that dream team. You would have taken
Dwight
either
would.
One of them.
I absolutely think
taken,
that Dwight would.
Dwight Howard would have been the third or fourth best center.
Game changer. We know how you feel. We know how you feel about
at
Dwight.
Least. Yes, because he doesn't have an offensive game. You're doing a discredit to yourself right now. You're doing a discredit. Because listen, you talking about David Robinson, who could shoot the ball out to 18 feet. Patrick Ewing, who could shoot the ball out to 18 feet. David Robinson, in the season before the Dream Team, he averaged 4.5 blocks a game.
I'm not talking about these guys like they scrub. You got to hear me out, because I didn't even get to finish my point. Okay?
Okay, I'm going to stop.
Now, the question that Kobe was asked is, could they win one game? I think if there was a seven-game series, I think the 2012 team, if you give me my centers and take off these trash centers we got now, I think that team can win at least two of those seven games. Absolutely, they can do it. You got to think about this, guys. Kevin Durant and LeBron James on the same court.
Yeah.
I've never seen anything like these two guys. The way that Kevin Durant can shoot the ball and the way that LeBron goes to the basket. Now, granted, Michael and MJ are dominant guys. Michael will be the best player on the court. But he can't. Who's going to guard LeBron? Who on that? You going to put Karl Malone on
Nobody
LeBron?
Nobody guards LeBron, no. Nobody guards LeBron.
Exactly. And that's why.
And it took him 9 years to win the title.
Come on now.
Let's not overblow that match. I mean, you're right. Life. LeBron don't have a matchup. LeBron has never had a matchup. Whoop-de-doo.
Come on, man. Who going to guard Durant? You think Pippen going to stop Durant?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes, I'll take a shot on Durant. He won't stop him. But Durant ain't going to go nuts.
I couldn't disagree
Scottie's
more.
Scottie's just as long.
No, he's not.
Say Scottie was overrated as an offensive player, but as a defensive player, that had nothing to do with Mike.
Durant would torch that man, okay?
Nah, I disagree.
You're listening to The Real Sports Guys at realsportsguys.com. We got to send it to commercial. We'll be right back to finish up this conversation.
Resistance Digital Solutions. Are you tired of running to the boys in blue?
Are you done with listening to sales staff trying to upsell you technology that you don't need? We've all been there. So, what did the Real Sports Guys do? We contacted Resistance Digital Solutions for all our technology needs. They are not there to meet sales quotas or make profit margins. They simply just want to sell you what you need at a fair price. From iPads to PCs to flat screens, TVs, or intricate home theater systems, they customize every solution based on your needs. Check out their website at www.resistancedigital.com or email them at sales@resistancedigital.com for your custom technology solutions today.
In other news, Marcus the Game Changer said that Scottie Pippen can shut down Durant. Justin, why do you think this is impossible?
I don't think anybody's shutting down Kevin Durant. Have y'all not seen what this guy has done? First 5 years in the league, he led the league three times in scoring. He took the youngest team ever to the NBA Finals this year. The boy is bad, and he's going to go down as a top 10 player that we've ever seen by the time he retires. The boy is a flat-out assassin. He's got the length that he can shoot the ball from 40 feet out. He can go by you. Pippen, what is Pippen, 6'8"? Maybe 6'9" if he's wearing big heels. Pippen don't want no parts of that, man. Pippen's never seen a guy like Durant. You understand where I'm going with this? Now, I'm not talking about, you know, these players on the Dream Team like they scrubs. I mean, the resume speaks for themselves. 11 of the players are Hall of Famers. I do want to call out one thing. You gave some great stats, Game Changer, but nobody thought that the guys you were saying was the weak link. The weak link was Christian Laettner.
I don't even count him. You weren't playing. If they had a game, we could get this game together. That boy ain't seeing the bench. He might not even show up. They might even let him on the bus.
So he was the weak link. But
he wasn't even a weak link because he wasn't a link. He wasn't on the chain.
It should have Shaq on there, but that's neither here nor there.
Magic say, you guys go ahead and take. You guys take the college kid, okay?
Yeah, I'd have hated to be in that situation, actually, man. You get disrespected on a daily basis. And you really can't argue about it. I mean, you can't even get mad about it. It's like, yeah, I guess. I ain't done nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm sitting here with all these champions, and I ain't done nothing. You know?
So, fellas, I've got a question for you all. And we're going a little bit off the dome. Listeners, we got a little bit of bonus time here. And this is a question because, first of all, I think that the Dream Team, the 92 Dream Team versus this Olympic team discussion, who's better, is premature. First of all, 2012 team, win the gold medal first. Then we can have that discussion. Secondly, here's a question I want to pose to you guys, okay? Is the 2018 better than this team? Or do you prefer the 2012 team over the 2018? I'll start with you, Justin.
You took the words out of my mouth. I like the 2018 better than the 12 team. You give me Dwayne Wade over Iguodala. Give me Dwight Howard over Tyson Chandler. That's the team I'm talking about that will give the Dream Team the best run. I like that 2018. They cut the gold medal game a little too close for my comfort. But the only thing about this 2012 team that I would like better than the 08 team is that the guys are more mature. The guys are more seasoned. It's been 4 years since they last won that gold. So they got more experience under their belt in international play and throughout long NBA seasons. So I'll take LeBron now over LeBron 4 years ago. I'll take Melo now over Melo 4 years ago and so on and so forth. But what I like about that 08 team is they had Dwayne Wade coming off the bench. You know, they had Dwight down low as a formidable force. And I honestly think that team will give the 92 Dream Team a go. They win two games in a seven-game series.
Marcus, you like the 08 team or 2012 team better?
I like the 12 team better. One of the main reasons Justin mentioned before is they have a kid named Durant.
who I agree. I think, and again, I want the listeners to get it twisted. I'm not saying Scotty would shut down Durant, because I don't think anybody could shut down Durant. Scotty would slow him down, though. Scotty could guard him. Scotty could guard him. Scotty could make it difficult for Durant. But what I would say is that for the reason that Justin stated, the 12 team is a little bit more seasoned. I think they have less bit parts. When you talk about a Michael Redd, a Tayshaun Prince, guys like that who are on the 08 team, who I don't think would make the 12 team. Even back then, if they were the same kind of a player, I don't think they would make this team. I think this team is a little bit more well-rounded, more versatile, more athletic than that team. He's right. Not having Dwight, hurts the 12 team, but I would still take the 12 team, given everything that they have over the 18, just because you have a better version of everybody you had on that 18.
Now, the 08 team, their bigs, correct me if I'm wrong, was Odom, Bosch, Boozer, and Howard. And I think they're significantly better than all the bigs on this current team, you know, with maybe the exception of Kevin Love, but I think the way that Kevin Love is being used, you probably have to give a nod to every one of those guys, with the exception of Boozer, maybe. And I really like the way Odom plays international play, especially Bosch with the jumper. So you guys still like the 2012 team better?
Yes.
Justin?
Well, you know, as I said, I like the 18 better. I gave you a couple reasons as to what I like about the 12 team, but overall, I want that 18. I like Bosch. You know, he can stretch the defense and still bang down low. I like Dwight down low. Again, D-Wade, missing him is critical. So I definitely think the 08 team is the best team that we've seen out there since the Dream Team. I loved L.O. 6'9", can handle the rock, shoot a jump shot, go to the hole, pass. He could do it all in international play. I know he didn't show that very much this year with the Dallas Mavericks, but back then, the boy was bad.
All right, that was pre-Kardashian, okay?
They will mess you up, won't they?
Yeah, they get you.
But, you know, I like that 08 team. I like this 12 team, too. I think they're all great, great teams, great representations of our country. I think they wear the uniform with pride. And all these teams are great teams. I mean, we're almost debating just to be debating. I mean,
yeah.
This is a coach's dream, like you said earlier in the show. I mean, you get to pick your poison. When do you play Deron Williams or Chris Paul? Come on.
Yeah. Well, you've been listening to The Real Sports Guys, Olympic Team USA, men's basketball preview. I'm going to give the fellas a parting shot here before we close it out. We'll start with you, Marcus.
So this is what I'll say to all the young bucks out there that – want to continue to have this particular debate about the Dream Team 92 versus 12. As my man PhD said, let 12 win something, then we can talk. But this is my last bit of information. Again, I'm all about the information. You give me a lineup from the 2012 team that can guard the lineup of Magic, Mike, Scotty, Chuck, and D.R. Robinson. Let me know. There's no matchup for that. 12 team can't match up.
Justin.
I hate to end in disagreement because I thought we were doing good today. But I'll take Kobe Bryant, Kevin Durant, LeBron James, Carmelo Anthony, and Russell Westbrook. And that lineup will give them a go.
All right. Who's guarding Chuck?
LeBron.
Who's guarding the aggressive Fakir? Okay, so who's guarding Mike?
Kobe.
At 33? Kobe at 33.
Absolutely. He just got his knees done.
Against Mike at 29?
Absolutely.
Against Mike at 28?
On Kevin Durant, you damn Skippy, I'm putting Kobe on Mike.
I'll take that.
And they're gonna go back and forth.
And who's guarding Robinson? Who's guarding Robinson? Durant? Who's guarding Robinson?
Who cares? he gonna be left in the dust because Team USA.
Robinson could run. See, that's where you're wrong. Robinson could run.
And I said Dwight Howard. Too.
Robinson could run.
Robinson could run.
But Dwight Howard ain't on the 12 team.
But you said give you a lineup.
I mean, you can't take that down the team.
If I had my real center. You gotta think.
He ain't
there was
no.
nobody
he
injured
tripping.
For the Dream
he ain't
Team.
Yeah, he's tripping right now. He's faking a back injury.
You hard on Dwight, man. You hard on him.
Oh,
you hard on
man.
Dwight. No, my whole discussion
tonight.
Was I need Dwight on the team.
Exactly. He's not on this team. That's why it's null and void, man. If he were on the team, if you had Derrick Rose, Dwayne Wade, and Dwight Howard, the guys who I feel like are missing off this team, that's a real conversation right there. That's a real debate. That is a real debate, especially if you add in a guy like Bosh. If you put Bosh, Dwight Howard, Dwayne Wade, Derrick Rose, that actually right there is that's a gangster squad. That's a squad where you have to really sit back and say, we need to talk about this. But without those guys, and when your best option at center is Tyson Chandler, I mean, there are about 15 centers during the 80s, 90s during the time when you would pick before you would pick Tyson Chandler. They would have put Kevin Willis on a team back in the 90s before Tyson Chandler.
All right, Jack Sigma.
I couldn't agree more about Tyson Chandler. I know they're parting shots, and we're going a little bit over this, but I got a little food for thought for you as well, Mr. Game Changer.
I'll take it.
If you look at international play in 92, Dream Team was beating people by 40, by 50. All they had four NBA players, Tony Kukoc, Vlade Divac, Detlef Schrempf, and Dragan Petrovic. Now you got teams with four and five NBA guys on there. I just gave you four players out of the entire Olympic play in 92 that were in the NBA. The competition that these boys are going up against are much better now than they were then.
Yeah, I don't hold margin against victory against the team. As long as they win the gold medal, I'm good. I don't care how much they win by, because I know it's more difficult. I get that. Because right now, you know, I tweeted it last week, you know, the announcers keep talking about how much more physical the international game is than the NBA game, which is crazy because that was never the case back then. The international players were soft back in the day, and now the NBA players have to adjust to the physicality of the international game when it used to be the other way, where the international guys had to adjust to the physicality of the NBA game. Because in the NBA, you can't hand check no more. Where in international play, you can put your hands on guys on the perimeter, which is different for our guys. But no, I don't hold margin of victory. I think people that do that are just they don't get it. They don't understand what you're trying to look at when you're trying to compare teams. You have to compare the actual teams. You can't compare them to how they're performing against their competition, because you're absolutely right. It's a totally different world as far as how far the international scene. And basketball has evolved, and how much more difficult it is to win in the Olympics, to win the world championships. I totally agree with you on that.
Well, at least we agree on something.
There we go.
You've been listening to The Real Sports Guys on realsportsguys.com. Our time has come to the end. Before we let you go, I want to thank Marcus the Game Changer and Justin Page for coming on. Upcoming programming for Real Sports Guys on our network this coming Tuesday. The guys will be back. We'll be back. And actually, Justin will be taking my place for this coming week on the 7th. And we'll be on at 8:30 Central to 10:30 Central. You can get us on realsportsguys.com, or the podcast will be available on iTunes. Also on Wednesday, Inside the Park with RJ Page, Mike, and Hank will be on Wednesday at 8:30 Central. So, signing off, Real Sports Guys. Thanks for listening. Have a good night.